Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Nuntes. We begin on Nuntes Omid Aleph, about 15 lines down. We remind ourselves yesterday that we had a machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili as to whether the Kohen Gadol physically walked around the Inam Mizbeach to do the four applications of the blood on each corner. That was the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, as opposed to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, that he stood still in the appropriate corner. We had a machlokas as to which corner that was. According to Rabbi Akiva, it was in the southeast corner. And with his hands, he just went around the Mizbeach. We begin today's shir, Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yishmol, 15 lines down, again from the top, Nun Tesam and Aleph, with the following brisa. Rabbi Yishmol tells us, Shnei Kohanim Gedolim Nishtayru B'Mikdash Rishon. Now this is a very interesting statement that he makes, which we'll spend a little time on. The simple reading of the words are that there were two Kohanim Gedolim that were left over from the first Beis HaMikdash. In other words, they served in the first Beis HaMikdash, and then Nebuch, the Beis HaMikdash, was destroyed, and there were two Kohanim Gedolim that were left over. In fact, the Piskei Rid has the Girsa Nishtayru Mi Mikdash Rishon. And the Rabbeinu Chananel here writes that they were Mishamesh in the first Beis HaMikdash, and it must have been that one of them had a tumah, like a tumas keri, to allow the second one to take over. Otherwise, the Kohen Gadol normally wouldn't have a second Kohen Gadol around, especially for such a long period of time. So it must have been that they both were serving during the same period of time, and one was just a replacement Kohen Gadol because the first Kohen Gadol had tumas keri. In addition, the Yaivitz brings down that it's very difficult to suggest that there, in fact, was two Kohanim Gedolim left over for the first Beis HaMikdash, because it says that Melech Bavel, Ruch HaNetzer, Rasha, he was Mamis, the Kohen Gadol, Uskano. So therefore, the Vilna Gaon has a different gears here. The Vilna Gaon deletes the word Rishon, and he just says Nishtayru B'Mikdash, and this is talking about the end of the second Beis HaMikdash. He also points out that this is the correct girsa, because otherwise we have a problem. There weren't machlokas in Klai Yisrael during the time of the first Beis HaMikdash. In fact, everybody agreed with everything. So how would you explain over here that there are two different opinions? It seems to be machlokas. So to that, the Tosfos Yeshanim already gives two terutzim. Tosfos Yeshanim says that the first teretz is that they didn't disagree. They had two different opinions, and it wasn't yet brought to the final conclusion as to how to paskin. But if it had been brought to the final conclusion as to how to paskin, they would have paskined it, and there wouldn't have been machlokas. The second answer that he gives is that there were no machlokas between the two opinions. They just said either way is correct, and one did it this way, and one did it that way. In any event, what exactly did these Shnei Kohanim Gedolim say? Zelmer biyodi hikafti. This one said, like Rabbi Akiva, that I stood still, and only with my hand did I go move about and do the applications on the four corners of the Inam Mizbeach. And the other one said, Zelmer baragli hikafti. No, like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that he walked around and did each of the applications in each corner by physically being there. And each of them gave a reasoning. Each of them gave a rationale for why they said it their way. The first Kohen Gadol said that Zet no Saint Tam Lidvarv, the reasoning is Soviv de Mizbeach Pnimi Kisoviv Mizbeach Achitzon. That just like by the outer Mizbeach, clearly you had to walk around, so therefore by the inner Mizbeach you also had to walk around, and this was the opinion of Rav Yossi Aglili. Zet no Saint Tam Lidvarv, the other one said no. Kule Mizbeach Pnimi Bimokom Chodo Karen the Chitzon Koi. That the inner Mizbeach was so small, it was just like the size. It was only, as Rashi points out, it was just one Amma on the actual part of the Mizbeach where anything was done. So therefore, it was as the equivalent of just one Karen. And just like at each Karen you stood still, so too the inner Mizbeach, all four Kronos are considered like one Karen. As we said at the end of yesterday's Shia, this is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, who saw Varkul Mizbeach Bimi Bimakom Chodo Karen Mizbeach Chitzon Koi. So therefore, that is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, that he stood still and just moved his hands around to do the applications on all four corners. This really was the conclusion to the end of yesterday's shir, and now we can go weiter. So we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Rabbi Lezer HaOmer, the opinion of Rabbi Lezer, the Mishnah was different than the Tanakhama. Tanakhama was really Rabbi Yossi Aglili's opinion, and that was that we just said, you walked around, and Rabbi Lezer disagreed. That he would stand still, and he would just move his hands around to each of the four corners, similar to what Rabbi Akiva said. Now, whose opinion of Rabbi Lezer is this? Masnis and Mani. We'll see there are two versions of what Rabbi Lezer said, and our Mishnah, we'll see, goes according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, his understanding of Rabbi Lezer, as opposed to the understanding of Rabbi Meir of Rabbi Lezer. As Masnis and Mani, who is the author? The Rabbi Yehuda. It is, in fact, Rabbi Yehuda. And what is this? Machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. as to what Rabbi Lezer said. The Tanya, we learn the Brisa. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi Lezer Omer. Rabbi Meir's opinion is that Rabbi Lezer holds as follows: Bimkomo Omer Bchata, he stands still, doesn't move around. His hands move around, but his feet, he stays in one place. Bimkomo Omer Bchata, he does the applications on the four corners in one place. And how does he do that? So the opinion of Rabbi Meir is not like our Mishnah. Rabbi Meir says, the Rabbi Lezer's opinion is Valkulam Yanosim Mimalo Lamata. On each of three of the four corners, he would do the applications from the top, Mimala Lamata, from the top of the corner to the bottom of that corner. And they did this for all of them except Chutzmi Oso Shimalachson. He did this for all of them except for the one that was directly diagonally opposite him. So he did it to the one he was standing in front of, from top to bottom. He did it to one to his left and to one to his right. But the one that was diagonally opposite him, that one he did Shinosin Mato Lamali. He did it from the bottom of the Chuda, of the corner, applying the blood in an upwards direction to the top of that corner. And the reason for that was because that was the furthest one that was away from him, and it would be difficult for him to do it from the top to the bottom without getting his clothing dirty. So therefore, the others, the one that he was in front of, and the two to his right and to his left, those he was able to do Mimala Lamata without getting his clothing dirty. But the one that was diagonally opposite him, it would have been difficult to do from the top to the bottom. He would get his shirt dirty, and therefore he had to do it in this way. That's the opinion of Meir. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda says that Rabbi Lezer holds as follows. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Bimkomo Omer Bchate. Again, he doesn't disagree that he stood still. That clearly is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. He stands still and he just moves his hands around the four corners. And Rabbi Eliezer, according to Rabbi Yehuda, holds Al Kulu Nose Milamato Lamala. On all of them, he did from the bottom to the top, the opposite of Rabbi Meir. Milamato Lamala, he did on three of them. And the only one he didn't do that way, Chutz Mizu, Shoy Solofon Mamish, except for the one that was directly in front of him. If he had done that one from the bottom to the top, by the way his fingers are coming up, the chances are that the blood would get his shirt dirty. And therefore, Shinosi Mimala Lamata, the one right in front of him, he did from the top to the bottom. Kihecha Delo Nizvason Money, in order that he shouldn't get his clothing dirty. So both of them had different ideas as to what Rabbi Lez's opinion is, and the Mishnah that we have uses the opinion of, is quoting the opinion according to Rabbi Yehuda. Mark continues, and it said, "He zah mimenu al toro shel mizbeach." The Mishnah had said that the Kohen Gadol goes and he places the blood after he does the four corners on top of the mizbeach. Now, that's the way I translated it. The Gemara is first going to say, how do we know it means the top of the mizbeach? Maybe it means the side of the mizbeach. And he has to put these seven applications on the side of the mizbeach. So the Gemara asks, my tohoro. What does the word tohoro mean? It says, he's on mimenu al tohoro shel mizbeach. So this is a play on the words in the pasuk, where it says, v'yizor lov min adam b'etzbo sheva pa'amim v'tiharo v'kidsho. So it tells us, Tiaro v'kidsho. So Amar Rabba Bar Rav Shila. Rabba Bar Rav Shila says that it means palge de mizbeach. It means if you're looking at the mizbeach as a vertical structure, you have to do it from the halfway point, the palge de mizbeach. That's where you put the blood applications, the seven blood applications. It's talking about in the vertical axis. Kedar me'inshe, as people say, the common expression, tihar tihara, that the day has become bright. In other words, the middle of the day is known as tihara. V'havei palge de yoma. That means half of the day. In the middle of the day, at noon, that's when the sun is the brightest. So that's the idea of tahar tiara. So this tiara means that the halfway up point of the mizbeach. So it's talking about the vertical component, not on the top of the mizbeach, but in the vertical part of the mizbeach, you have to do it in the top part of the mizbeach. Morris says, wait a second, Meisve, we have a brisa that argues with that. Right? Rabba Bar Rav Shila is an Amora. So he has a problem if there's a brisa that goes against him. And the brisa says as follows. Kishumaza, when the Kohen Gadol does the hazos, the seven hazos on the inner Mizbeach, Enomaza lo al gabi yo'efer, he doesn't apply the blood on top of any of the ashes that are left over from the incense, lo al gabi ha'gecholim, and not any of the coals that are left over on the burning of the incense. Again, there was daily incense burned both in Shachar's time and Bein HaRabayim time, when he brought the Karban Tamid. So when he's now going to put the seven additional applications of blood on the Mizbeach, he has to be careful, this Brisa says, not to go and put it on either remainder of ashes from the regular daily Ketores in the morning or in the afternoon, or in the remainder of coals that are on there from the morning or the afternoon. What should he do? Elachose gecholim, elach velach, shovels away the coals or the ashes that are over there, and he clears away a spot on top of the Mizbeach Umazeh. And then he does the hazos, he does these seven applications, the sprinklings, on top of the cleared away Mizbeach. So the Braisa clearly says that it's on the top of the Mizbeach, not on the vertical component of the Mizbeach. So therefore, Rabbah by Rav Shila's original understanding is wrong. So the word says you're right. El Omar Rabbah by Rav Shila. This is what Rabbah by Rav Shila said. It means Tiara. It means Al Giluye de Mizbeach. It means on the revealed part of the Mizbeach. As it says, Kedirsev, Uchietzem HaShemayim Lo Tohar. It means like you could see in Shemayim. So therefore, it was cleared away. So too, he had to clear away the ashes from the incense and the remainder of the coals from the incense burning and find a clear spot, and that's where you do the seven hazos on top of the Mizbeach HaPnimi to conclude the applications of blood from both the power of the Kohen Gadol and the Sor LaShem. Now the word says one last thing. Tanya. Hananya Omer, Hananya tells us, B'tzat Sfoni Hu Noseh, which part of the Mizbeach did they clear away? So we have a machlokis. Hananya says that the blood applications were more towards the northern side of the inner Mizbeach. And Rav Yossi Omer, no, it was B'tzad Dromi Hu Noseh. It was more on the southern side, again on the top, southern top of the inner Mizbeach. So it was a machlokis between Hananya and Rav Yossi as to whether it was on the northern side, Hananya, or the southern side, Rav Yossi. Both agree it was on the top, like we just explained, just which side it was. And what are they arguing about? B'mai Kamiflagi. So it all depends on which opinion you previously were holding, like in terms of where the Kohen Gadol was standing when he did these applications. The first opinion, Hananya Mar Sabar, he holds that Pischo Badorim Koy. This goes according to the opinion that we had attributed to Rabbi Akiva, that there were two curtains, and therefore the opening to enter into the Holy of Holies was ultimately, initially, on the southern side. That's where the Prufa, the curtain, was pulled up. And he would enter on the southern side, traverse the space between the two curtains going south to north, and enter into the Holy of Holies on the northern side. So when he came out, the Kohen Gadol would come out on the southern side of the Heichal. So, Mar Sovar, Pischo Bedorm Koi, Rabbi Akiva, which is the opinion of Hananya, said that he came out on the southern side. Mar Sovar, but the opinion of Rabbi Yossi was like the opinion of Rav Yossi Aglili. It's not the same Rav Yossi, but Rav Yossi held, like Rav Yossi Aglili, that Pischa Batsofon Koi, that no, there was only one curtain, and therefore when he came out on the northern side. So each of them says that you go to the closest place, Ein Mavir Nalamitzus, so each of them would go to the closest corner. So Rabbi Akiva, when you came out on the southern side, said the Kohen Gadol's closest corner was going to be the southwest corner, which we said we had to bypass because it says V'yotza, he had to go totally beyond the Mizbeach, so he would go to the southeast corner. So we'd be standing by the southeast corner to start. And therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva and Rav Yossi Aglili, they walked all the way around. So therefore, he would end up being in the northeast corner. He started off in the southeast corner. Again, Rabbi Akiva's opinion was he went in a clockwise, we explained this the other day, not counterclockwise. So he went from the southeast to the southwest to the northwest, and he ended up in the northeast corner. So according to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva / Hananya, he would end up in the northeast corner, and therefore he was closest to the northern part of the inner Mizbeach, and that's why he did the applications on the northern part of the Mizbeach. B'tzad Tzvoni Hu Noseh. On the other hand, Rav Yossi / Rav Yossi Aglili, they hold that he came out from the northern side curtain, because it was only one curtain, and therefore he started off going to the northwest corner, but he had to bypass that to get to the northeast corner, as we said, because of the Yotza, and then he went from the northeast corner in a counterclockwise way, so he went northeast to northwest to southwest, and he ended up southeast. So when he's ending up in the southeast, the closest part of the Mizbeach to him is the southern part, and therefore, according to Rav Yossi / Rav Yossi Aglili, B'tzad Dromi Hu Noseh. So I just explained the Gemara outside. Now we'll see it inside. The Kuli Amar Miha, they all agree, both Rabbi Yossi and Hananya, and Rabbi Yossi Glili and Rabbi Akiva, they all agree, Hecha de Gamron, Matonos de Kronos, Hosum Yovel Gago, wherever you ended up doing the last of the four applications, so that's where you do the, that's closest area to you, where you do the applications on top of the Mizbeach. Now, why is that so? As I just explained, each of them did it in the place close to them. Where they get that from? My timer, because of the pasuk. This pasuk that we just read before to teach us the word v'tiyaro. So the pasuk says amakra v'tiyaro v'kidisho. So we learn out from there. Makom shekidisho shom tiyaro. From the place that you did the last application, that's where the place you'll do the applications on top of the mizbeach. Then we quote the Mishnah. It says, "Shiori Adam Yishovecha Yisod Ma'arabi Shom Mizbeach Chitzon." Our Mishnah's opinion was that all the remnant blood that was left over after you did all of these minimum of 43 applications of blood, again 16 for both the par and the sawyer, one up, seven down, lifnayv lifnim. Then the one up, seven down for each of them. That's towards the parochas when you're standing in the hekel. That's 32. Then we had, according to our Mishnah, you mixed the blood and you did just four applications from both of the bloods, and then the seven applications now that we just learned on top of the mizbeach. That's another 11. 11 and 32 is 43. So these are the 43 applications. After that, all the blood is called the remnant blood. Shiori Adam. And they would go, our Mishnah said, and take all the remnant blood, go up to the outer Mizbeach, and pour it onto the western Yisod of the outer Mizbeach. That's the opinion of our Mishnah. And how do we know this? Because the Omar Krah, the Pasuk, tells us, the ace called Dam Hapor Yishboch. Rashi points out from the Torah's Kohanim, that this is talking about over here, L'rabos par Yom Kippur. And this is talking about the par that the Kohen Gadol brings, not for Yom Kippur, and it's coming to be Marbe, the par that the Kohen Gadol brings on Yom Kippur, that the Shirayim from that are also Nishpachim Yisod, which the end of the pasuk says, Asher Pesach Ol Moed, Zeh Yisod Marabi. That's the one that's in front of the Ol Moed, that's the first Yisod that you'll encounter, the Western Yisod, and therefore that's how Rashi says that we learn this out. Now, the Gemara continues and says, V'chi nafik, when he leaves the Ol Moed, v'hau poga bereisha. That's the first one that he reaches. Now, Tosos has this gear. So Tosos says that you actually have the pasuk fully quoted over here, and it says, Asher Pesach Ol Moed, v'lo gar sinon, v'hau poga bereisha. And he therefore deletes these words, and says it's purely based upon the pasuk, Asher Pesach Ol Moed. In any event, however you learn it, they're all using the same pasuk. It just depends on which part of the pasuk they're actually using, and whether you're goris the words b'ha'u pogam resha, it's, Tosafot says you're not goris it. In any event, they both agree, whichever way you learn it, that this is the western yesod, and that's the first yesod that you're going to encounter, and that's the yesod that's lifnei o'ha moed. That's why you pour this shrayim blood from the chatos primios and the chatos of Yom Kippur on this western yesod. That's the opinion of our Mishnah. Furthermore, Mishnah said, "V'shal mizbeach achitzon yeshofech ayitzol dromis," as opposed to the remainder blood from all the chatos that were on the outer mizbeach, and we use as the paradigm of that the chatos of the nasi, but it applies to all the other chatos as well. The remainder blood you pour not on the yesod ma'aravi, but our Mishnah said you pour it on the yesod dromi, on the southern yesod. Now, this is a machlokis, Tanu Rabban. We learned in the following brisa. Now, the gersa that we have is Yisod HaMizbeach, which if you look in our Torah, or, so it tells us this is a Pasuk in Perek Dalet, Pasuk Lamed in Vayikra. However, many of the Mepharshim say that that's the incorrect Pasuk, and in fact, this Pasuk should be from Perek Dalet, Pasuk Chof Hei. So, which again, we're not going to go into right now the details of the differences in these two Pesukim. We'll leave the gersa that we have that it's talking about Pasuk Lamed, but many suggest that it's talking really about Pasuk Chof Hei. The bottom line is, the Braisa says, Yisod HaMizbeach, it says you have to pour the Shrayim onto the Yisod Dromis. That's when it says Yisod HaMizbeach, it's talking about Yisod Dromis. Someone says, maybe not. Ah, told me Yisod Dromis. You're telling me you have to pour it on the southern Yisod. Maybe it means, oh, well, Yisod Ma'aravis. Maybe it means the western Yisod. How do you know it means the southern Yisod? So the verse says, Amris, Yulmad Yiridosom in HaKevesh, LiYitziyosom in HaHechol. Because we should learn the Kohen Gadol's exiting from the Heichal, we should learn that the same way that the Kohen Gadol goes to the closest wall to do his Shrayim, to take the Shrayim and put it on the Yisod of the closest wall, which is the western wall, so too we should learn Yomad Yeridosim in HaKevesh, when a regular Kohen comes down from the Kevesh with the Shrayim of the blood, after he does the four applications on the four corners on the top of the Mizbeach, he has to come down, and he comes down on the southern western side, and therefore the first yesod that he'll reach should be the one that he should do the shrayim's shvicha onto that yesod. So what is this drasha? Yomad yiridosu min hakevesh liyitzios min hahechol, just like my yitzios min hahechol, when the kohen gadol leaves the hechol, the samachlo, he puts the shrayim on the closest one to him, which will be the western one. So too, Please hold my Ravim, so too. Afi Ridosu and Akevish, when the coin, the regular coin, comes down from the top of the Mizbeach, after he did the four applications for regular Chatas, so he comes down the ramp that's coming off the Kevish to the southern western side, but the first one that'll hit will be the southern side, Yiradus bin Akevish, Bisamuchlo too. Is that Zeiso Dromi? So therefore, this Brisa wants to learn out the parallel that just like when you leave the Heichel, you have to put the Shrayim on the closest side, which is the Yisod Maravi, so too when you leave the outer Mizbeach and you come down, you put it on the closest side, the Shrayim, which is the Yisod Dromi. That's the Brisa. Now we have a Machlokis. Tanya, we learned another Brisa. Machlokis between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon Yochai. Rabbi Shmuel Omer that both of them, the Kohen Gadol coming out with the Chatos Pnimios on Yom Kippur, as well as a regular Kohen when he comes down from the outer Mizbeach with the Shrayim blood, each of them has a Shrayim blood, both of them, according to Rabbi Shmuel, Zeh, Yisod Maravi, both of them pour the blood on the Maravi, on the Yisod Maravi, the Western one. Rabbi Shimon Yochai says the opposite. Rabbi Shimon Yochai says both of them, Zeh, Zeh, Yisod Dromi, both of them are applied to the Yisod Dromi. So neither of them holds like the Brisa that we had. Rabbi Shmuel here says both of them on Yisod Maravi, and Rabbi Shimon Yochai says both of them on Yisod Dromi. Now, what's their understanding? So it says, Bishlam Rabbi Shmuel, we can understand Rabbi Shmuel. He compares the Kohen Gadol leaving the Heichal, the first Yisod that he hits is the Yisod Maravi. So too, we learn out, just like that was the Yisod Maravi. Don't learn out to the closest Yisod, but learn out, that was Yisod Maravi. So in general, all the Shrayim has to be Nishbach on Yisod Maravi. Very, very easy, simple drasha. Kisavar Yilmat Sasu Mimafarish. The one that is not specified, meaning which Yisod should you go and pour it on when you're coming off the outer Mizbeach with the remainder of the Chatos blood from a regular Chatos. So that's Sasum, that's not told. So you learn it out from the one that is Mefurish. The Kohen Gadol, when he leaves, the Heichel has to go to the closest one, as we pointed out. Either we have the Girsa that he literally goes to the closest one, or it's Lifnei Pesach, Pesach, Ol Moed. So therefore, that's the Western one. So just like that's the Western one, so too this is the Western one. So Rabbi Shmuel makes very good sense. El Rabbi Shimon Vayachai, why does he say both of them should be on the Yisod Dromi, my timer? Why is that? So Rav Ashi says, because he holds Kisavra Pischo Badorim Koi. Because he says, you know what? He is going to encounter the first Yisod as he comes out of the Heichel. This opinion is that the entire Mizbeach was north. If the entire Mizbeach is north, so actually as he comes out of the Heichel, going through the Ulam, the first Yisod he's going to hit will actually be the southern Yisod, because the entire Mizbeach part, not the ramp, but the entire Mizbeach part is north. So therefore the first Yisod he's actually going to hit to have Asher Pesach Ol Moed, that he should go and hit that one first, so that's going to be the southern Yisod. And therefore, just like the expressed one, the Mefurish one, is the southern Yisod, so too the Sosim is the southern Yisod. So that's the understanding of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, that it's Yisod Dromi, because that is the first one that he'll actually encounter. That's Rav Ashi's understanding. Now the Gemara says, Tana de Rabbi Shmuel, eventually they changed the opinion. And in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shmuel, they learned this following. They learned that B'divei Rabbi Shimon Vayachai, they changed their opinion. Rabbi Shmuel's Beis Medrash, he changed his opinion of Rabbi Shmuel to be like the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Vayachai, that Zeh V'Zeh Yisod Dromis. That ultimately, Rabbi Shmuel's opinion came around, not that they're both on the Yisod Maravi, but they understood that they're both on the Yisod Dromi. Based upon this drasha, that he also holds that the Mizbeach was mostly in the north, and therefore the first that you encounter when you come out of the Heichel is going to be the southern Yisod. So therefore, we learn out that is the southern Yisod, and we learn out the Sosum by the regular Chatos to be the southern Yisod as well. Now, how do we remember this retraction and change of opinion of Rabbi Shmuel? B'simonech, the way you remember this, the mnemonic is Mashchua Gavre LeGavra. That Rashi explains, the bottom Rashi, the Talmidei of Rabbi Shimon, they moshlu, they pulled Rabbi Shmuel lomar kidivrayim. So you have the many, the gavre, the talmidim of Rabbi Shimon, they pulled the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel to be like theirs. That's the way Rashi understands this. Tosos does not agree with this. Tosos has a different opinion. In the middle of the Tosos, Moshchua, he says, Nira, Kemosha Pirish Rashi Khan, he agrees with Rashi, the Zev Zeh Yisod Dromis, but he says, this is the demonic. He says, Mushku Gavre Ligavra. So that means over here that you have Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, where two names are mentioned. That's the Gavre, and Rabbi Yishmol is Gavra, is a single name mentioned. And therefore, what it means is that the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, which is the double name, pulled the opinion of the single name, the Talmidim of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, pulled the Talmidim of Rabbi Shmuel to say over that the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel is actually like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So the Gavre is Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai, two names, pulled over the Gavra, Rabbi Yishmael. Gemara continues by quoting the next part of the Mishnah. Eilu ve'elu misarvin ba'amo v'yotze v'chule. We said that ultimately anything that was poured down the Yisod, there were channels on the Yisod that went down and led from the Yisod to the Amma, the one Amma wide stream that ran through the Azara that eventually went out to Nachal Kidron, and all these floods were intermixed there with the waters, and it said in the Mishnah that they would be sold to the farmers of the Nachal Kidron, and if the farmers took it without paying for it, there would be Chayev Me'ila. Tana Rabbanan, the Braisa tells us that this Me'ila that we're talking about is not going to be a Me'ila Daraisa. Mo'al in Bedomim, the opinion of Divri Rav Meir and Rabbi Shimon is that you can be Mo'al Bedom, but as we'll see on the Omid Beis, this is only a Me'ila Dirabbanan. Whereas the opinion of the Chachamim, Chachamim ain't Mo'al Bedom. There is no Mila at all with blood. Now, we're dealing here, of course, with blood from Korbanos, and the question is, on what level should this be Mila, if at all? Return to Nuntes Omud Beis. And the Gemara says, Ad kan lo plige, the only arguing over here, Elamid Rabbanan, that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon, who hold from Mila, agree that it's only a Mila de Rabbanan. And the Chachamim say there's not even Mila de Rabbanan, but nobody says, I will be Daraisa, Amol, and everybody agrees that there is no din Mila Daraisa. As the top Tosos tells us over here, the little short Tosos, Dima Daraisa, because if you were dealing with a din of Mila Daraisa, then how could you possibly sell it? Lo yotsu midei Mila, hechdim karim leganonim lezevel. If there was a din Daraisa, so then how could you go and abrogate it and go and sell the blood to the farmers in Nachal Kidron? So obviously it's only Midrabanan, and again, it's only Kotei Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon who hold that this is true. Now, what's the Nafkamina? So Rashi points out that the Nafkamina is Mandioma Moal and Midrabanan, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon, who say that there's a Mila Durabanan, so then, since it's only Durabanan, you have to pay the Karen. If somebody were to usurp this, take this by accident, so then they would have to pay the principal. But Midaraisa, you also have to add on a fifth, so this is only Mila Durabanan, so therefore there is no Mosif Chomesh. Okay, so this is the din. And the Gemara asked me, no, honey, Mila. How do we know that there is no Mila on a Daraisa basis? Everybody agrees. Even Rav Meir and Rabbi Shimon agree that on a Daraisa level, there is no Mila on these sacrificial bloods. Why not? So we have three different opinions. Omar Ula. Ula tells us, Omar Kra Lachem. The Pasuk tells us Lachem. Here's the whole Pasuk, and all three are deriving from this Pasuk. The first one is Ula's, Ki Nefesh Habosar Badom Hi. That's the pasuk, and Ula tells us that it says over here the words "anina sativ lochem." It's for you. In other words, I'm giving this blood to you, and therefore there is no din of meila. That's the first understanding. Second understanding is Devei Rabbi Shimon Tana. Now we'll see ultimately in a moment that they're not arguing with each other. They're each bringing down a separate drush from the pasuk to teach us a separate din. They're all talking about the din that it's for yourself. We'll have to say as opposed to what. So the first opinion, Ula says it's yours, and therefore there is no problem with Me'ila. And the other opinions are also going to be used either to say that there's no problem with Me'ila or there is no problem with something else. We'll get to that in a moment when we turn to the Omer Aleph. So the second reason is that Rabbi Shimon, Tana, they learn the word l'chaper. The pasuk says that you are going to have this blood l'chaper al nafshosechem. It's for a kapara, l'kapara nesatim. I gave it to you for kapara, below the mila, and not to have mila done to it. And the third teretz is from Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Omar Kro, the end of the pasuk, it says, ki adam hu by nefesh l'chaper. Who? It should be in that state. L'havaya, l'fnei kapara, k'li'achar kapara. It should have the same halachic status before the kapara as it has after the kapara. And of course, maliacha kapara ain bobila. Of course, anything that has finished off its activity, so once the avodah is done, there is no din of mila. So certainly, once the blood has been applied, there is no din of mila on it. So too, af lifne kapara, because of the word hu, tells us that the same din applies even before the kapara, that ain bo mi'ila. So we have Ula, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Yochanan all giving us different drashos from this pasuk to say why there is no din of mila. But on this last one, we have a question. Why did Rabbi Yochanan say, just like there's no me'ila afterwards, so too there's no me'ila beforehand, why don't you say the ema li'acha kapara kilifnei kapara, that the rules after the kapara should be like the rules before the kapara, and maybe say ma'lifnei kapara yeshua me'ila, so too af li'acha kapara yeshua me'ila. If you want to say this is the way to compare it, so compare it the other way. Instead of saying there's no me'ila after kapara, so therefore there's no me'ila before kapara, like Rabbi Yochanan said, why don't we say that just like there's me'ila before kapara, so too there should be me'ila after the kapara? So the Gemara says, no, you can't learn it that way, because ein chadovish anasis mitzvah so umolimbo, because we never find anything where after the mitzvah was done that there still is a din of me'ila. So after the applications of the blood are done, so then the avoda is done with that blood, so there can't be me'ila, because we never find such a thing that after the avoda is done that there still is me'ila. So therefore, the way we learned it, like Rabbi Yochanan said originally, that just like after the kapara there is no me'ila, so too before the kapara there is no me'ila as well. Now, the Gemara questions this and says, "V'lo, you would never ever find that something that has its mitzvah done that there's never a din of me'ila." I'll show you. What about Vahari Truma Sadeshen? The Truma Sadeshen, which we take some of the deshen, some of the ashes that are on top of the Mizbeach, and we put it next to the Mizbeach, some more Eitzel Mizbeach, and miraculously got swallowed up according to the understanding that we learned earlier. And as a result of that, you see that you're not allowed to do anything with that Truma Sadeshen, even though its work was done. So here you find an example that after its avod is done, nevertheless there is me'ila. So why can't we say the same thing by the dam? After the work was done, there still could be me'ila. And we turn to Samach Omud Aleph. And the Gemara says, no. Mishum, they have a Truma Sadeshen. Yes, Truma Sadeshen is an example of that, but there's also the Big Day Kahuna. We learned previously that the Big Day Kahuna that are worn by the Kohen Gadol, the four garments that he wears, the white linen garments, can never be worn again by anybody else. So that's after the Avodah is done, and yet there is a requirement that it can't get any Hanor from it, and it's therefore going to be Usur with a din of Me'ila. So just like the Truma Sadeshen and the Big Day Kahuna, they both are like that. You can't learn out of Binyan Yav to anything else. Mishum Davi Truma Sadeshen and Big Day Kahuna, Shnei Ksuvan Boim Ki'echad, V'chol Shnei Ksuvan Boim Ki'echad, Einon Milam Din. We have a rule that if there's one time a din mentioned, so then we normally assume that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to generalize that to all other din. And this is called a Binyan Av, and you learn out. Well, it says it over here. So Mistam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do that every place else. So if we only had one place where it says that there's a concept of Me'ila even after the Avodah is done, so if it only said it by Truma Sadeshen, I could learn out of Binyanav and say every place else as well, even though the work is done, you still have a din of Me'ila. And I would know that. But then why would the Torah tell me it in the second place? Because if it had only said it in the first place, I know it in the second place as well. And therefore, when we have Shnei Ksuvim, Aboyim Keecha, when two Ksuvim are teaching us the same thing, it's Bedavka to tell us not to generalize it. And therefore, Ein Melamdim, you can't learn it out to any place else. So here the Torah told us in two places, by Truma Sadeshen and by the Big Day Kahuna, that there is a din of Mila even after their work is done. And that actually comes to teach us that every place else, there is no din of Mila after the work is done. And in fact, you can't generalize it to every place else. And Rav Yochanan is correct that there is no din of Mila afterwards by the Dam, and therefore there shouldn't be any din of Mila beforehand as well. And Gemara says, wait a second, that's great if you hold that these two are Shnei Ksuvim and Boim Keecha, Truma Sadeshen and Big Day Kahuna. But there was an opinion that the Big Day Kahuna were not Asa for everybody, they were just Asa for that Kohen Gadol to use again, but in fact it was four garments, and a regular Kohen Hedger could use it. And this works out well to say that the Shnei Ksuvim and Boim Keecha are Melamdim, according to the Chachamim, the Amre, the Hinicham Shom Melamid Shetunim Geiniza, that the Big Day Kahuna that the Kohen Gadol wore, his white linen garments that he wore, can never be worn again by him or by anybody else. The Hinicham Shom, they have to be placed over there. In other words, they're hidden away, and there's an Isser of Me'ila on them. So then we have Shnei Ksuvim, Boim Keecha, Truma Sadeshen, Big Day Kahuna. But if you hold like Rabbi Dosa, we learned this early in the Masechta, Rabbi Dosa, the Amar, Big Day Kahuna, Re'uyin, Hein, L'Kohen Hedjot. Hey, the Kohen Gadol can't wear them again, but they're perfectly good begadim for a Kohen Hedjot to wear. And there isn't a problem having the Kohen Hedjot wear them. Ma'ikal Amemah said, now this is not Shnei Ksuvim, Boim Keecha, because in fact the Big Day Kahuna are not having an Isser of Milah because they are still allowed to be used. So therefore, it's only one cause of Truma Sedeshin. So why can't we learn that out as a Binyan Av and a Kashan Rav Yochanan? So the Gemara says, no, because we have something else. Mishum Deve, Truma Sedeshin, Ve'egla Rufa. Okay, yeah, the Truma Sedeshin, that's one, but you also have Egla Rufa. By Egla Rufa, when you have Rechmon Lassan, somebody that dies in between two cities, you have to figure out which is the closest city, and they didn't do a proper Levoya to the person, they didn't take care of the person, and they're held accountable, and they bring the Egla Rufa, which is killed, and that is the din, that it also, the Egla Rufa, once it is killed, so it is also not allowed to have any Hanor from it. Ah, there's a din, so to say, of Me'ila, even afterwards. So here we have Shnei Ksuvim and Bavim Keachet to tell us that there is a Din of Milah even after the work is done, and therefore this Truma Sedesh and Egla Rufa, Shnei Ksuvim and Bavim Keachet, because Shnei Ksuvim and Bavim Keachet ain't Milamdin. So that's the source that you can't learn it out, and Rabbi Yochanan is okay. Gemara says, wait a second. That goes well according to the opinion that says, if you have Shnei Ksuvim, Haboim Kiechot, Ein Melamdim. Oh, very good. Now we have Shnei Ksuvim. Either if you learn it like the Chachamim, you have Truma Sedeshin and Bigdei Kohuna. If you learn it like Rabbi Dosa, so then you have Truma Sedeshin and Egla Rufa. But there is an opinion that says, El Laman Diyomar, two Ksuvim Haboim Kiechot, you still are Melamdin. It's only when you have Shlosha Ksuvim Haboim Kiechot that Ein Melamdim. So you have over here only two Ksuvim. Tosus points out, Dibra Maschel, El Man Diomar, second Tosus, Heavy Motzili Shinuya, you could have answered over here, the Man Diomar Melandim, Swavaloki Rabbanan, the Rabbi Dosa, the Havalu Hashtar Shlosh Ksuvim. We could have answered simply that we have three Ksuvim over here. We have the Truma Sedeshin and the Egla Rufa, but we also have the Big Day Kahuna, not like Rabbi Dosa. So therefore, we could have answered that this opinion is really Shlosha Ksuvim, and then there's no Kasha. But Tosa says, we want to have it according to everybody. We want to have it even according to the opinion of Rabbi Dosa. So therefore, we give a different teretz over here. So therefore, Laman Diomen, it says, Shnei Ksuvim Armelamdin, Ma'ikul Meimar, what are you going to answer? So Gemara says, no. These two psukim, Truma Sadeshin and Egla Rufa, have miyutim that specifically say, do not generalize them. So even though if you didn't have those miyutim, you would generalize them, according to Man Diomen, it says, Shnei Ksuvim Boim Kiechot Melamdin, but here, we have miyute, we have things specifically tell us not to generalize it. What are those things? So it says, by the Pasuk, by the Truma Sadeshin, it says, V'samo Eitzel HaMizbeach. So you have to bedavka put it over there. It gets put over there, and you can't generalize this to anything else. And likewise, it says by Egla Arufa, it says, Ha Arufa, this animal has this din, but no other din can be generalized to anything else. So therefore, these miyutim tell us that this din of mi'ila after the fact, after the avoda is done, only applies to Truma Sedeshin and Egla Arufa. And even according to Man Diomed, it normally says, Shnei Ksuvim and Boim Keachon are milam din, here they can't. Now we'll just conclude today's share. We'll get to the Mishnah. Conclude today's share with the question that I alluded to before. Why did we need three opinions? We had the opinion of Ula, we had the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, and we had the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. Why do we need all three of them to darshan from this pasuk that there is no me'ila after the avoda is done? V'hani t'losu kroy badom lomali. Why do I need three psukim to tell me something by the dam? So Gemara says, because they each teach us something else. Number one, chad limute minosar. One is to tell us that not only is there no din of me'ila, but there's also no din of nosar. Normally there are isurim involved in nosar. If something is left beyond its time and you eat a kezayis of it, so then you're chayiv karis if you were to eat it. So the dinim of nosar don't apply to blood. The isur of eating blood, that applies to blood, but not an additional isur of nosar. And you need one pasuk v'chad l'mutim mi'ila. One is to teach us the basic din of mi'ila, like we said. And v'chad l'mutim mi'tumah. Another one is to tell me that if you eat blood, so you're overeating blood, but if you're tame and you eat the blood, you're not chayiv over here for eating something hektish v'tumah. So that's why we need three drashas from this pasuk. Again, each one telling me that by blood, you don't have a din of nosa, you don't have a din of mi'ila, and you don't have a din of tumah. Again, there's an issa to drink the blood. But these additional Isurim aren't noheg on it. Now, the Gemara says, Avo mi pigol, to teach me that there's no din of pigol by eating blood. If the korban was mafagel and you eat the blood, drink the blood, so then you're not over pigol. Again, you're over for drinking blood, but you're not over pigol. Pigol, you don't need a special pasuk to teach me. Avo mi pigol, lo tzarech lemute kro. I don't need a special pasuk to teach me pigol. Why not? Because it's not. Because we learned in a Mishnah in Zvachim, the Mishnah in Zvachim tells us, anything that has something that permits it, In other words, there's an action that's done that permits the earlier thing. So bein liyodom, bein lemizbeach. This is true for a person or for the mizbeach. Chayavin olav mishum pigul. So then, if there was a pigul machshava, a chutz lizmano machshava, that you're going to do one of these activities outside its proper zman, so then you would be chayiv if you ate a kezias of that item. You'd be chayiv pigul, an issur of kares. However, that's in regards to the items that aren't a matir, but the matir itself, no. The dam atzmo matirhu. The dam itself is a matir. So the iser pigel doesn't apply to the matir. It only applies to the things that it's being a matir. So the dam, which is a matir, the din of pigel, I don't need a special pasuk to tell me that it doesn't apply to blood, because any matir, the din of pigel doesn't apply to. With this, we conclude today's share.